Hello, friends, listeners. Welcome to the Common Geeking Program, which is basically a book club or a common reading program for geek culture. Each episode, we will have a topic, and four people will discuss from their own geeky, nerdy perspectives. Today, I am hosting the episode. My name is Jeff, and we'll be talking about Godzilla. And our first representative is...
Hey guys, it's me, Keenan Kodish. I will be representing the domain of Naruto.
Hi, I'm Pat Brem, and I'm representing the domain of V for Vendetta.
Hey, I'm Matt Canavan, and I am going to be representing the domain of The Office.
Uh-huh. Wish Office. Both offices?
I guess you'll have to stay tuned to find out.
Ooh, we're adding some suspense into this podcast.
Sorry, whoever's editing this for like four different classes.
It's Colin, so no apologies. Make him suffer.
Yeah, fuck you, Colin.
It was a monumental job, but a job which had to be done.
So what I had them watch was the original Gojira from 1954, as well as the American version, which is Godzilla, King of the Monsters, which was released in 1956.
Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
It's basically a dub of the same film, but as I'm sure you'll find out, it's got quite a few differences.
A better love story for what?
I'm going to start with a summary of the Japanese version. For those of you who don't know what Godzilla is, it's a giant fucking lizard that's destroying Tokyo. That's basically the summary of the whole movie.
Yes, I finished. All right, I'll check with you tomorrow.
I'm going to start off by listing some of our main characters. I'm going to start with Dr. Yamane. He is a paleontologist who the government of Japan has, like, in charge of leading research on Godzilla because he knows a lot about dinosaurs, and Godzilla is a dinosaur. One of the main characters is his daughter, Emiko, and she's caught in, like, this weird-ass fucking love triangle with another important character who is Dr. Sarazawa. He's cool. He's got an eye patch. Because we're continuing this trend of pirates.
We're on this eye patch kick.
Yeah, we gotta have another eye patch thing in the next episode. So Sarazawa was pretty important because he's a scientist and he does science things. And
yeah, vague pseudoscience.
Like all scientists everywhere.
Nah, his science doesn't make any sense.
Well, yeah, no, it makes zero sense.
Because I removed the oxygen from the water, the person melted.
A way to destroy all oxygen in water.
He didn't just remove it, he destroyed it.
Disintegrated, actually.
Just think about if every little bit of oxygen in your body right now just, like, fucking had a little poof and exploded, you'd be pretty fucked up.
I wouldn't be liquefied.
70% of you is water, so...
Why didn't the water then burn up?
So only 70% of you would
fine,
go poof.
It's fine.
Sarazawa is in an arranged marriage with Emiko, but Emiko has a lover who is a boat captain named Ogata.
At the moment, they seem more interested in each other.
Who is, you know, largely actually not that important in the movie.
Weirdly, he's around all the time I didn't understand. He's a regular salvage captain, but yeah. He's around all the time. But then again, maybe it's because, like, the Japanese aren't allowed to have, like, an army and navy. So maybe he's, like, the closest equivalent to it. I'm not quite sure.
I feel like he's supposed to be the main character, but he's just not as important as all the other characters. The basic plot of the movie is it's very, very heavily implied that nuclear testing in the ocean is what awakens this prehistoric creature from its, like, slumber and radiates it and turns what was once a normal dinosaur who was just kind of living at the bottom of the ocean.
Some rare phenomenon of nature.
Into a fucking mutated, evil, spiky, acid-breathing monster.
Whoa, he breathes fire.
I don't think it's acid.
It's like atomic breath. The movie opens with a ship getting destroyed by Godzilla. Godzilla ends up attacking this island called Odo Island, and the government is, like, debating whether or not they tell the general population about it.
It's weird to me because the reporter guy...
Steve Martin
is just like, yo, I'm a reporter. What's going on in this super top secret situation that, like, you're not even telling your own people about, but you can obviously tell me.
So for those of you listening, I guess we're going to talk about this right now. Steve Martin is a character that the American version added in to basically have Raymond Burr play a white guy in the film. Yeah. And he's basically, like, the new main character, but barely affects the plot.
My name is Steve Martin. I'm a foreign correspondent for United World News.
Hey, he was very mean. He was there visiting Dr. Sarazawa because they were friends. Then he met the love of his life, Tomo.
How are you doing, Mr. Martin? Mr. Iwanaga?
For those of you listening, Tomo is this captain in, like, the self-defense forces. And if you don't think they aren't, like, totally in love, you haven't watched the movie.
It was decided that we would spend the night.
Just all the time, like, the
wind's
blowing.
Unless you watch the Japanese version, in which you'd have no idea that they're in love because they're not in it. But
yeah,
Pat, that's like, that kind of gets what you're talking about, though, is like, in the American version, there really wasn't an issue of telling the populace or not. They were just being totally transparent.
Which is confusing to me. The addition of a white guy just makes it so that they're completely open to everybody.
Well, whatever's being done, I'd like to find out about. All right, come with me.
Also, remember the in the American version, they also take out all the themes of, like, nuclear testing, government stuff. They take out a lot of the commentary.
Well, they took out everything that could potentially, like, label America as a bad guy in this situation. In the Japanese version, there are a few times where they're talking about the testing of the nuclear devices causing this monster to come up, and it could have been seen as an extension of the H-bombs being dropped on Japan by America, causing more destruction at Japan. So they kind of took that out to make it so that the American audience would probably view it as a little bit more of an enjoyable time.
Not as guilty, you mean?
Yeah.
I think that the biggest way that they change it is, like, the ending, which we'll talk about in a little bit. The main thing that happens in the movie after Godzilla has attacked a bunch, it's revealed that Sarazawa has shared these top secret plans with Emiko about this prototype that he has for a bomb that basically destroys the oxygen inside of an organism.
Totally,
it's pretty,
real science.
Pretty straightforward. Definitely real science. Basically, he's like, yo, this is fucking dangerous, and I don't want anyone to ever know about this. So he keeps it secret. But then once Godzilla starts destroying a bunch of things, Emiko tells Ogata, and then Ogata and Emiko go and convince Sarazawa to actually use it.
She starts crying for, like, what I can't figure out a reason for. I think she just realized that he had an eye patch. That's my theory.
So basically, they end up deciding to use the oxygen destroyer, and Ogata and Sarazawa go down to drop the bomb at the bottom of the ocean where Godzilla is currently, and then Sarazawa cuts his cord and stays down there with the bomb to die so that the secret is left intact. That's the basic plot of the movie. If anyone wants to jump in about how the ending has changed, did anyone else pick up on this?
In the Japanese version, they're like, what's his name? Professor Kayama? Yamane. He's of the belief that because Japan will continue testing, another Godzilla will rise. But then in the American version, because the American version also is all, like, narrated by Steve Martin, Raymond Bird, that is.
Yeah. Who, for people listening, not the actor Steve Martin. The character's name is Steve Martin.
If it were the actor Steve Martin, that would have been so great, though. Like,
oh, very Jesus. Different movie.
See, now I'm just thinking of, like, Cheaper by the Dozen with a...
with little Godzilla. It's just
that's the worst.
Godzilla by the Dozens. We are
family. 12 kids later and we still got the heat.
Steve Martin.
Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Yeah, but in the American version, it ends with him narrating the line, "The menace was gone, so was a great man.
But the whole world could wake up and live again."
And then it's all like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
American man.
So basically, the American ending was just like, yeah, we did it. Everything's good now. And the Japanese ending was a warning. Right, so it kind of took off some of the intended impact of the film.
It took off most of the impact, I'll say it.
The thing that I noticed also is in the Japanese version, obviously we watched it with subtitles. And then in the American version, what they did was they had Steve Martin explain what was about to happen in the next scene. And then they would just have the Japanese scene in its entirety without subtitles, sometimes dubbed, but most of the time just speaking Japanese. And then you're just supposed to be like, oh, something bad happened, but I don't quite know what.
The way that they did the movie, whoever the director was, he bought the original rights for the original Godzilla movie when the movie came over to play in Los Angeles. And then he just took pieces of that, edited it, and then added scenes recorded with Raymond Burr.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of piracy going on there.
It's not piracy when you buy it.
Yeah.
I was going for the eye patch joke, but I guess that's kind of weak.
You're the worst.
I've got to say, honestly, it was really strange while watching this movie because the first half of the movie, I'm actually pretty impressed with how they added in Raymond Burr. Like, I think that they did it in pretty organic ways because, like, when I was going to watch the movie, I was like, oh, they're just going to fucking do bad dubbing and shoehorn this character in every once in a while. And the first half of the movie, I was impressed that they kept the subbing because I was like, oh, that's like keeping it realistic to the language of the environment, but then having the Steve Martin character basically be a translator. And then once it got to the second half of the movie, it became pretty much what I was going to be expecting from the beginning.
I don't understand why they couldn't have just found a Japanese person who could speak English to do the voiceovers rather than making very clearly native English speakers do the dubs. It just pulled me so far out, like listening to a very clearly white voice coming from a Japanese person.
Like Emiko, the voice actress who did Emiko, like, holy shit, it was so bad.
I'm glad we had this time together.
I don't know what you're talking about. I thought she was fairly well represented.
Because it was also weird because her voice sounded the most different from her Japanese actress's voice. But then sometimes they'd still have her say shit in Japanese. And it's just like, people can tell that's not the same voice.
Yeah.
It was super annoying when they would just speak in Japanese for like half a scene. And I'd be like, I wonder what's happening. And they'd be like, so you promised not to tell anyone. Yes. And it's like, all right, so I guess there's a secret. Don't know anything about what they were talking about, but it's secret. So I guess that's appropriate.
I can understand why, like, if they put this Steve Martin character there, maybe all the Japanese people are just, like, talking in English for courtesy. But then there's, like, scenes where it's only the Japanese people, and we're just like, why are they speaking English right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be, like, when they're with the American, they'll speak Japanese.
Yeah, I just like also in the American version when they're talking to the natives on Odo Island who have Godzilla as this myth because they'd witnessed it before. They're like, oh, the natives call it Godzilla. And I'm like, oh, really? The natives of this Japanese island call it an amalgamation of God and Zilla? Yeah, okay.
Gojira, 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 Gojira.
Like, I feel like it just would have made more sense if they said that the natives call it Gojira, and then Steve Martin was like, that sounds like Godzilla.
No, they wouldn't been able to pronounce it. Come on.
Okay, so that was the basic summary. I'm going to have Keenan now explain his domain of Naruto.
Hey guys, I decided to pick Naruto because when it was...
You mean you didn't choose Death Note?
Naruto is you guys want to talk about Death a young Note? Ninja who starts at the very bottom of the social chain. He's an orphan, he has no friends, he's made fun of by everyone he knows, and no one likes him.
Do you identify with that, Kenan?
Groan. It turns out that he has this great power, this demon fox, one of the great tailed beasts, numbering 1 through 9... And he had the 9-tailed fox.
It's a Pokemon.
Inside him. And the overarching themes of friendship and perseverance, in my opinion, are done extremely well.
Hey, wait, actually, here's a connection. There's also a very awkward love triangle in Naruto as well.
It's only awkward for, like, the very beginning, and then, like, we don't really acknowledge it, except sometimes. Just wanted to talk about it because in Naruto and in anime in general, when it was brought over to American audiences, not only was dubbing poorly done and a good dub was rare, but also, especially with Naruto, things were changed a lot.
Like I can't.
Like for Naruto, a lot of the blood was taken out. Like in the beginning of the, I guess technically it's the first arc. Naruto stabs his hand and like it bleeds and it's like graphic. But in the American version, they imply that he does it, but they also make it seem like they really play it down and there's not nearly as much violence at all.
Yeah.
They also took out like pretty much all the swearing. So really it's a lot like the way they took out a lot of the ideas from Gojira and when they made it to King of Monsters, that in Naruto, they also did the same thing. They took out kind of what isn't necessarily majorly important in Naruto.
They dumb it down.
But they did, yeah, but they did dumb it down in part because they wanted to make it more like for younger audiences.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Even then, the point is that they still altered it radically and made it something that it really wasn't in the beginning.
To bring back my previous domain from a long ass time ago, I know in a couple episodes of Pokemon, there are like scenes with food in them where they actually edit the animation. So instead of it being Japanese food, it's like American food. There's a dream that Ash has where like a rice ball rolls down a hill at him. And then in the American version, they edit it so it's a hamburger rolling down the hill at him.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Cut the stupid tricks! This is your last warning!
Yeah, it's very rare. And Naruto was at a point where there were decent dubs out there. But if you go back far enough, there really weren't that many good dubs. To the point where a lot of fans, even today, prefer subbed because they don't trust dubs. Because dubs, like in God of Monsters, it just wouldn't sound right. And it was stupid. Yeah. I watched this one episode of, like, I think it was the Ninja Scroll series or something. And, like, I tried to watch the first episode, and within 5 seconds, I was done. There was this woman, and she was supposed to be this big, tough woman, but, like, she had, like, no emotional rage in her voice. And she killed two guys, and they were like, ah!
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt about Emiko. She just, like, had no emotional range. I do think that dubbing has gotten a lot better throughout the years, but that was, like, one of earlier examples. And it was just, like, they hadn't really figured it out yet.
Nah, it took a bit to happen. Now I believe I have yet to encounter like a bad dub.
Right.
Just have dubs that like I personally don't like.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
That was pretty interesting, Keenan. Now I'm going to move it over to patty cakes. So we're moving away from Japan a little bit here because V for Vendetta has nothing to do with that.
Remember the 5th of November.
They're basically the same thing, I would say, Naruto and V for Vendetta.
Totally.
It's the same basic plot.
I mean, the mask kind of looks like that fucking snake dude, right? It's kind of long face and creepy. Just doesn't have the mustache. The Guy Fawkes mask looks like, what's that guy's name?
Guy Fawkes, motherfucker.
No, not Guy
Oh.
The Guy Fawkes mask looks like Guy Fawkes.
The snake dude in Naruto.
Oh, Orochimaru.
Orochimaru, yeah. Oh yeah, Amazon.ca. What's the website for that again?
Ooh, officer, what's the number for 911?
So, anywho.
Sorry, go ahead, Pat.
The story of V for Vendetta revolves around this nameless, well not nameless, but like we don't know his real name. His name, for all intents and purposes, is V, and he is on a vendetta.
To wreak vengeance on mankind.
Against the current government in England at the time, which has turned fascist. There is a book of this story written by Alan Moore, and there is a movie that was done by, I don't fucking know, but...
Good job doing your research.
Oh, and it's McTeague.
James McTeague.
Oh, it's written by the Wachowski brothers.
They're not brothers anymore.
Of what nationality are the Wachowski brothers, Kenan?
They're American.
Okay.
Ooh, we got America versus England.
Since when does America and England have conflict? I've never known that to be a thing in history.
Never. Not even twice.
Not America or Japan either. Everyone's peaceful. International relations are fucking going swell right now.
It's all right. Let's make the podcast great again.
Yeah. Fucking funniest thing ever. In the book version of V for Vendetta, there is literally a line where the fascist overlord says, "Make Britain great again." And I was just like,
really?
I'm done.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
No.
So, in this world, V is on a vendetta to overthrow this fascist government by just inciting anarchy across the UK.
Well, not anarchy.
Yes.
Yeah,
literally
anarchy.
Yeah.
Anarchy in the UK!
He is an anarchist. He is blowing shit up to overthrow the government and completely destroy the government so that there is no government. That's anarchy.
Cool.
So, there are a lot of differences between the book version and the movie version, most notably how everything ends. In the movie version, V convinces the second-in-command of this fascist government to betray Chancellor Sutler in the hopes that the second-in-command, Mr. Creedy, will take over afterwards, and then he's just going to kill him anyway.
The only thing that you and I have in common, Mr. Creedy, is we're both about to die.
Wait, is Chancellor Sutler the guy who's played by John Hurt in the
yes.
movie?
Yes.
R.I.P. John Hurt.
Did John Hurt die?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait, really?
Really?
Like a few days ago, yeah.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that. Oh, that's so sad. I love John Hurt.
I'm sorry.
So, in the book, V knows exactly what the government is going to be doing. We don't find out how he knows this until the very end, where it's revealed that he has access to the government's secure computer systems and all of their security cameras and everything, so he can see exactly what the government sees. He starts to actually type messages to the Chancellor through the computer, making it look like the computer is talking to the Chancellor, making him go insane because the Chancellor is literally in love with this computer for some reason, like, wants to marry this computer.
What? Like, akin to Steve Martin and Tomo?
Yeah.
Hey, Steve. Hi, Tomo.
So he uses that to incite anarchy and makes people just revolt. He gives them essentially a weekend free of government eyes. And then on the third day is when he dies, convincing Evie that she needs to then become V as if V never died.
Pat, would you say that Evie evolved?
Evie, of course you are.
So V is for Vaporeon then, right?
Vaporeon, go!
I really hate you guys.
Not me.
Pretty much the overall theme of the book is anarchy and rebuilding, and the theme of the movie is just overthrowing a fascist government, even though they never really say fascism in the movie at all. One of the biggest problems that Alan Moore, the author of the book, had with the movie was that for a story that's so much about fascism and anarchy, they didn't say fascism ever, and they said anarchy one time.
Now, I feel like we're moving to the most different of the domains right now, which is, Matt, you're talking about The Office? Let's hear about how The Office relates to Godzilla.
Gojira.
Hey, I'm talking about The Office. Most people know The Office as a mockumentary series that was on NBC. It was originally a TV series in the United Kingdom. It was written and directed by Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant. But basically, the premises between both shows are they follow a paper company, and the main character is the regional manager. They want everyone to love them, but their ways of going about if having people like them as best boss ever is totally inappropriate.
Remember when people used to say boss when they were describing something that was really cool? Like, those shoulder pads are really boss, man. Look at that perm. That perm is so boss.
So the reason I chose The Office is because we were comparing Americanized versions of shows. I was going to try to compare it in terms of how well it did success-wise.
Okay.
The Office in the UK originally was almost a complete flop.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was.
Live fast, die young. Not my way. Live fast, sure. Live too bloody fast sometimes. But die young, die old.
One funny thing that I found was that I lost my train of thought.
See, we didn't even have to make a joke for you to lose yours.
Maybe Godzilla will pick it up for you. Does he do that in this movie? Does that happen? He does that sometimes.
I don't know if Godzilla's in The Office.
I'm pretty sure he is.
False.
Hey, Lizzie, can you go?
Yeah, Lizzie. We're scumbag, right?
Tell me about it.
Yeah. Well, is he gone? Is he dead forever?
He's trying to get his sister to leave.
That's right. He's got sisters. Weird.
Hey.
Hi.
Now I actually did lose my train of thought.
Check under the couch.
Oh my dog, go. Hold on, guys, I'm really sorry.
No, it's okay. We'll just hold against you for the rest of your life, passive-aggressively.
Maybe not even passive-aggressively. Maybe, like, active-aggressively.
As aggressive as Godzilla. As aggressive as V.
Or as aggressive as Steve Martin's love for Tomo.
Hey, Tomo, we make him mad?
Yeah. Fuck. Okay, now I remember. No, I don't. Yes, I do. Guys, stop.
Sometimes I'll start a sentence, and I don't even know where it's going. I just hope I find it along the way.
Yeah, so I chose it because we were showing the difference between, like, Americanized versions, blah, 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 all that stuff. And it seems like they seem to tailor it a lot towards, at least the American versions, towards what the American people want to see, which is, like, I guess more violence or, like, a sappy love story.
Man, I love that girl.
That is an interesting thing to point out, though, Matt, because, like, one of the main differences here is you probably would not want to go watch one version of Godzilla and then another version of Godzilla like I made you guys do, right? But two different versions of The Office are basically different shows.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the humor in the UK version of The Office is just based more on just kind of witty, just, like, humor with, like, words and stuff, you know?
Humor with words and stuff.
Did I stutter?
Yeah, but in the U.S. version of The Office, there's, like, more slapstick, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I would say it's more just American humor, because American humor is different than British humor.
All right, Well, that's a pretty good place to end that. I'm going to try to incite a little bit of back and forth between you guys here, because I actually asked you each to watch these movies in a different order. I myself watched the Japanese version first, and it drastically changed how I was able to see the American version. So Matt and Keenan were supposed to watch the American version first. One of them did it, one of them did
I
not.
Did.
Okay, I saw the American version like maybe 4 or 5 years ago before you asked.
Doesn't count.
So technically...
No.
Okay, that's fair.
It doesn't count.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
Stop, guys.
So I'm going to ask you guys.
You mean me, because I'm the only one who did that.
Well, mostly you, but I want to hear back and forth opinions on it. Did watching one version versus the other make the other one seem off in any way?
I would say yes, because once again, the themes of political, social, and like anti-nuclear themes in the original one came very suddenly, and it felt very weird, because I watched this Americanized one with Steve Martin walking around doing stuff. I'm like, oh, just a monster movie, no real like thought or symbolism behind it.
Right.
But then it turned out to be a lot more symbolism and thought than just, I was going to see a friend, but then this monster attack and I watched a lot of people die. But hey, I got paid.
On initial watch, which version seemed stranger to you?
Honestly, the first one seemed stranger, the American one for me.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
It's
yeah.
very strange, because he's just this random guy who just shows up, falls in love, and like keeps walking around finding dinosaurs, and...
I guess, yeah, I guess that's what that's kind of what I wanted to know, because I wasn't sure if like... The reason that me and a lot of other people think that the American version is strange is because we watched the Japanese version first. So I was wondering if having you watch the American version first would allow you to think that the Japanese version is like the stranger one. But I guess that's not the case.
It's just like the American one is just awkward because they took the story that already existed and then shoehorned the American stuff in there. So it made it really hard to follow. If that was the first one I watched, I probably would have missed a lot of the story.
That makes a lot of sense.
But like watching the Japanese one and reading all the subtitles and getting like literally every detail that they wanted out of it, I knew exactly what was happening, and then I could use that context in the next one.
That makes sense.
The story just jumps around a lot in the American one, which makes it awkward.
Right, yeah. And, okay, so the first time I watched the American one, I think I was like 10 years old.
Okay.
So
you literally just said 4 years ago, bro.
Turns out Matt is 14. Guys, he's a lot younger than we thought he was.
Yeah, you guys got me.
What else are you lying about?
There are several different ways to tell if a perp is lying. Unfortunately, I spoke to Oscar on the phone, so none of this is useful.
So I didn't even know that it was based off of a Japanese movie originally. And, you know, I remember thinking, okay, yeah, this is pretty cool. Dinosaurs breaking shit, breathing fire. You know, what 10-year-old or 14-year-old doesn't love that?
Gojira.
Basically. But I still knew that there was, like, the premise that nuclear weapons aren't, like, there's a reason that nobody uses them or should be using them.
Yeah, because they're expensive, duh.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, Kenan.
Yeah, because once you use it, you can't just get that one back. Come on, Matt.
You have to ask nicely.
Or all the people that it killed.
When you were 14, didn't you have like any sense of like financial investment in nuclear? Come on. I'm doing. Continue.
No, Keenan, he's 14 now. He was 10 when he watched it. That was 4 whole years ago. You think he remembers?
Yeah, right.
But then this morning when I watched the Japanese version.
This morning?
Yeah, you can edit that out.
So it's fresh in his mind.
I just found it funny how like the Japanese version was definitely different than the one that I grew up with.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it also kind of made the American one kind of stranger in a sense that they literally took clips from the Japanese one and put them in.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd say the American one's definitely more weird now.
Okay. Well, there goes that theory. I got that flopped in my head. But I guess we're all on the same page. Fuck the Americans.
To be fair, your sample size is pretty small. You have to have at least 10 in order to be able to use the law of large numbers assumption.
That's a good point. Granted, I did take a class on Godzilla, and that was the general consensus, but... General consensus? But we did... We did all watch the Japanese version first, to the best of my knowledge, but I think what most people thought was that the American version was worse.
Yeah, definitely worse.
I don't know about worse, per se.
No, worse. Better love story, though.
Shit. All right, so I'm going to start asking you guys some specific questions. I'm going to go a little out of order here, because I've really only thought of a good question for Matt so far.
Okay.
Between the different versions of The Office, we've been talking a lot about Steve Martin and Tomo, these characters that have been like shoehorned in. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of really iconic characters in The Office. Mm-hmm. Is there a lot missing or added between versions?
It's interesting you mention that, because for like some of the more main characters, like obviously the regional manager, those are both in the both versions. Mm-hmm. There's a UK equivalent of Dwight and Jim and Pam.
What is the Dwight guy like?
Awkward. Honestly, I liked Rainn Wilson a lot more.
He's a pretty good character.
He is my spirit animal. But there were some characters that just weren't there, mm-hmm. like Toby.
Oh, okay.
Toby was just kind of completely added along with, what the hell was his name?
Creed?
I think it might be
Creed. Creed is the creepy guy who just makes random ass comments.
The creepy white dude, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, those are just kind of added into the American version. It's possible they just introduced more characters as more seasons went on, just
because makes sense.
It keeps it fresh and interesting, whereas in the UK it only went for 2 seasons.
Okay, that's good. Let's go on to Pat, as I will be stalling in this sentence while I'm trying to figure out a good question for Pat.
Who happens to be in this podcast.
And his name is also Pat.
And his last name is Brem, and he was talking about V for Vendetta. Okay, Pat. So... Okay, I guess what I want to ask you, I've been sensing this a little bit about the way you've been talking about it, but do you have a really heavy feelings that like the movie was not a good adaption of the book, or are you just trying to acknowledge the differences there? Like, what really falls short for you, and what do you think it does well in compared to the comics?
I think in order for the movie to be as successful as it was, they needed to make the changes that they made.
Okay.
However, I think it makes the story vastly different.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the American version, the average person watching the film is supposed to feel bad for V, feel bad for Evie, feel bad for all of the people under the oppression of this government, and root for them to overthrow and rebuild. The British version, the book, looks at more like everybody has their dark sides. Mm-hmm. The people who are working for this government are regular people. They just got caught up in something bigger than themselves. They didn't think it was going to get this bad. At the same time, the people who are just normal citizens have their dark sides. They're pedophiles, they kill people, and they do all this other stuff. And it's not so clear cut that it's good guys versus bad guys, but you are still supposed to believe that the oppressive government is supposed to be overthrown and everything. And I think that's seen mostly in taking out a lot of the torture that V does and making it just killings.
It makes them a little bit easier to identify with for an American audience.
I can assure you, I mean you no harm.
Yeah.
So how much of that do you think is really like England's interpretation compared to America's interpretation versus the kind of stories that work for comics versus the kind of story that works for movies?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely like the movie kind of culture is what draws a lot of those changes, is because it makes it easier for people to watch a movie when the good guy is being more of a good guy.
Yeah.
You want to keep people engaged in a book a little bit more because it's a longer situation. You have to put more facets to it, I suppose. And it's pretty good. Like, I 100% recommend reading the book. It'll only take you like 4 hours maximum.
4 hours.
I could test that. I'm a pretty slow reader.
Try me!
Why won't you die?
So I'm gonna move on here. Kenan.
Lift me.
Unless someone can think of another example of this, I feel like Japan is really the other nation in the world that the US takes the most media from and kind of changes into its own. So how do you feel like, in general, the whole like themes and values of Japanese culture are translated into these American media?
Well, what's very interesting about Japanese history, there's actually a really interesting history of Japan.
YouTube video?
I hate you. That video upsets me so much because they glass over the tiger.
It's so funny.
The tiger reform was a violent thing. It wasn't fucking paperwork. Anyway.
It's so funny, dude.
It is funny. But the point is, Japan has this history of taking things from other cultures and kind of adapting them to themselves. Like the Kamakura period was one of the first samurai periods, right? Give me 1 second. I have to answer my door. I'm an RA.
I'm ready. Anytime now.
Oh, right, you are an RA. So am I. Maybe I should answer my door, even though no one's knocking at it. No one's there.
Sad.
How you doing, guys? How you enjoying this episode so far?
Pretty good.
You think it's a good episode?
I'm enjoying it. I'm a little hungry, though.
Well, we don't have chatter in this episode, so there's not really any use in getting some food and crackling the paper while he's speaking. Gotta keep that trend going.
Hell yeah. Thanks, Pat.
Pat is our official Foley guy from now on.
These are the instructions to my new mouse.
It needs instructions?
Click.
What does it do?
It's a mouse.
Look at this thing. It's so cool. I can move this wheel, and it's just like a clicky kind of movie.
Oh, you mean like a normal scroll wheel?
Yeah, but if I click that button, it's an infinite scroll wheel. It just goes.
Like it unlocks it so you can... What's the point of that?
I can bunny hop so much easier that way.
Sorry about that.
I don't even know what that means.
Oh, wow. That's cool. So,
That was intense.
What Japan does is that it kind of takes things and sees if they like it and adapts it to their own culture. You can see that with many, like, phenomenons.
Phenomena.
Phenomenons.
Do, 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 do. Phenomena. The plural of phenomenon is not phenomenons, it's phenomena.
Oh, okay, do, sure, do, Jeff. Do. Mr. Linguist. Phenomenons.
Do, 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 do.
Phenomenon.
Like, they just get, they get really into it. So I wouldn't be surprised if they made their, like, anime industry heavily influenced by American and other film industries.
All right, that's a good answer. But I was definitely listening to every single part of it. Let's move on to the ratings section. I'm actually going to have you guys rate both of the two films just to get a kind of spectrum on the American version versus the Japanese version.
Ooh, me first.
For lack of... What's the unit in which you measure radiation?
Oh,
Click.
Geiger. Geiger counters?
Geiger counter, yeah. That's the thing. Yeah. What's the unit?
Radiation units.
Isn't it Geiger?
It's just rads.
I think it's just rads.
Oh.
That's rad.
What the hell's a Geiger then?
Well, Geiger is not a...
Wait a minute. Was Heinz Geiger?
Yeah.
He's the co-inventor for the detector component of the Geiger counter and for Geiger and Marster experiment, which discovered the atomic nucleus. My God. I learned something.
The Geiger is not a unit of measurement. It's a machine.
It's a person. Fuck you. Anyway.
Well, it was a person. Now it's a machine.
So who's going to get the golden Geiger?
The golden Geiger.
Well, first we have to rate it.
Yeah, first you have to rate it. You know what? I was going to do rads, but we're going to just piss off at least one person in the audience and go units of Geiger.
You're pissing me off.
Triggered.
That's at least one.
I'm not in the audience, you motherfucker.
You will be when you listen to it.
Maybe I'll just skip this one.
All right, guys, someone jump in. 1 to 5 units of Geiger for each movie.
The American version, which I will give 2 out of 5
Damn.
Units of Geiger, because it felt really coupled together. I will very much praise their use of inserting Raymond Burr into the scenes.
Thanks, Tom.
But frankly, they just kind of took a vague idea of the plot and cobbled it together, and it was kind of gross looking back on it. The original one, I will give 3.5 Geigers. I felt like the themes were very good. It definitely sent a message, and it's very iconic. However, it may have just been iconic because it was new, you know?
Yeah. It has spawned quite an expansive genre. I feel like the original Godzilla movie is not my favorite of the series, for sure.
I also feel like the love triangle felt kind of backseat. I felt they kept trying to present it as, like...
Important?
Yeah, as important, but I'm like, no. Whenever, like, Dr. Seizawa was like, oh, don't. I was like, oh my god, dude, just shut up, all of you. This isn't about, like, your weird love triangle. Just use it. Don't be like, oh, I can't betray him. He literally has a thing that can kill the thing that's been killing people all day. So maybe just convince him.
It's about a slippery slope, though, Keenan.
It is a slippery slope.
He doesn't want it to be the next...
H-bomb.
Yeah.
A hydrogen bomb. I just hate him, though. He was an idiot with a one eye.
Instead of a hydrogen bomb, it was an oxygen bomb.
Well, apparently.
He wasn't an idiot, just the people who wrote his character.
Yeah.
All right, go either Matt or Pat.
I would give the Japanese version probably a 4 out of 5.
A 4 out of 5 what, Pat?
I'm not going to say it.
Someone's not getting the gold star today.
I wasn't anticipating getting the gold star anyway. But it's 4 out of 5 Geiger units. I'd say that it was kind of long for what the story needed to say, so there was a lot of fluff that I think they could have cut out.
That's fair.
It was obviously, like, the acting at the time was overacted, but that was kind of the style, so I can't really slight them on that. But the story was overall good, in my opinion. Obviously not my favorite Godzilla movie. The American version, I would give 3.5.
That high? Okay.
It said pretty much much the exact same stuff. It just was a little bit more awkward. But again, at the time, considering what other movies came out around the same time, it was a pretty solid movie.
That's fair.
Steve and Tomo forever.
And the fact that we now have the image of Steve Martin, like the real Steve Martin, with 12 little Godzillas running around him in my head. That was my favorite takeaway from this entire thing. I just love
it. You are welcome, Pat. All right, so I'm going to give the American version 3 Geiger units. Pat, I hope you're triggered.
I've been triggered since this started. I listen to you guys talk about Japanese stuff the entire time and hate my life.
You don't like Japanese stuff?
I don't like anime, no.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Wait, really? He's pretty adamant about it.
I knew that about Colin. I didn't know that about Pat.
I don't know. It's like the fact that every time I go on the internet, I see like over... No, Matt, we cannot hear
no,
you.
No, we can't.
That's why we're having this conversation right now.
Test. Hello.
Go ahead, Matt.
Yep. Wait, what? Okay, so where was I before my mic cut out?
We didn't hear anything, but we didn't even notice you left because we pretty much cut you off anyway.
Okay, great. I give Japanese version 4 out of 5 Geiger meters.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
Wait, you said 3 out of 5 for the American version?
Yes, 3 out of 5.
Yeah, we got that.
I would give it lower just because it was really weird, but for nostalgia's sake.
That's fair.
Y'all being too nice.
Also, I had to start a separate audio track because when my mic got pulled out,
You're a human piece of shit now.
That's going to be difficult to see. Sync up.
Yeah.
Have fun
with that, Colin.
Have fun.
Get fucked.
No! God, please, no! 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 No!
Okay, so this is a special thing that I got you guys. I went to the fucking oceans of Japan, and I went down where they dropped that bomb, and I fished out Sarazawa's eye patch for you guys.
Yes.
Is getting a golden eye patch. And drum roll, please, but not on your mics.
Drum roll.
The golden eye patch today goes to Matthew Canavan.
Are you shitting me?
God damn it.
People say I am the best boss.
I think you did a good job of snipping in some humor into there. I don't know if it's necessarily fair to judge you on this, but I think that you picked the most interesting way to relate your domain.
I appreciate that. I will wear my golden eye patch with pride.
I think that it was the most different domain that we could talk about and kind of compare it in those ways.
Cool.
But it was close. This was a close one.
Thanks. Suck it.
Also, I'm pretty sure you're the one who said cheaper by the dozen Godzillas.
Yeah, I'd give him the eye patch for that.
All right, and I guess I have to read some outro or some shit after I violently smack my mic again to piss off Colin.
Here, wait, I got this. Rate, comment, subscribe. Common Geeking Program. Rate, comment, subscribe. Pat, that was dope.
Okay, guys, thanks again for listening. My name is Jeff, and this week's topic was Godzilla. Where can you find it? I'm sure you can find it at old DVD stores.
Blockbuster.
Good luck. Amazon, maybe. I don't know. I haven't checked. Probably somewhere. Our next episode is going to be hosted by The Last of Us, Keenan, and he's going to be talking about... Keenan, why don't you explain your topic a little bit?
Hey, I will be talking about the reimagining of stories.
Okay.
We will be reading issues 1 through 5 of Fables by Vertigo Comics.
That's the story that The Wolf Among Us is based off of, correct?
Yeah, oh. Wolf Among Us is actually a prequel canon series.
Cool.
Okay, and the next episode will air on March 3rd, and that will be hosted by Keenan. If any of you listening want to come contact us, you can find us on Twitter or Facebook at Geeking Program, or email us at commongeekingprogram@gmail.com. If you're listening on iTunes, leave a review, and if you want to know more, go to commongeekingprogram.com. We're also on SoundCloud, aren't we? It doesn't say that on here.
Yeah, we are.
Just Google us, you'll find it.
Will you? Do we come up on Google
Hold
first?
On.
Oh my god, I hope so. We're famous guys.
Yeah! Well, SoundCloud comes really? Up, and then iTunes, and then Player FM, and then our Facebook.
What's Player FM? We're also on Player FM. What's Player FM?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out if this is actually us or if it's someone else with the same name.
It'd be really weird if someone had the exact same idea and format.
And it was our doppelgangers? That'd be freaky.
I don't want to meet Keenan's doppelganger.
I'm a much nicer guy.
I think somebody found us and then uploaded us on here because it says it was discovered by someone who's a part of the Player FM community.
Hunt them down.
Isn't that some kind of illegal?
No, because they don't take credit for it. They still call us Common Geeking Program and everything, so it's just hosting us on a new site.
Oh, okay. Well,
we should reach out to them.
Thanks
anyways.
Or fuck you to that guy. I'm not sure which yet. Anyway, okay, that was our episode, and have a see you guys next week. Bye. Have a see you guys next
have
week.
A see have you a guys great, next week.
Have a great
have
day
a see you guys.
Or fucking night or whatever. We'll see you guys next week. I probably won't. I don't even think I'm in this episode. Am I in the next episode? I'm not, right?
I don't know.
I don't care. I mean, I don't know.
I okay, think you should I'm have not. A
fine.
See you guys
I won't
next
see you
time.
Next week. I'll see you eventually.
Have a see you guys next time.
See you guys.
Guys, just bye.
See you guys
have
next
a
time.
Have a see you guys next time.
So long, Steve. Sayonara.
Bye. Well, the episode's over. None of this is going in. I'm going to keep recording it, but I'm not going to put it in this episode.
This episode of the Common Geeking Program was hosted by me, Jeff Levitt, joined by Keenan Kodish, Pat Brem, and Matt Canavan. This episode is sponsored by doing things that make the editor's job a lot harder and then winding up editing it yourself. The podcast is created and produced by Colin Ketchin and Jeff Levitt, with this episode edited by me, Jeff, and featuring original music by Colin Ketchum. If you like the show, leave us a review on iTunes and check out commongeekingprogram.com to learn more. We hope you tune in on March 3rd for our next episode, and thank you for listening to this.
Friday, March 3rd. Wow, we are recording this so far ahead. This is great. I mean, no, we're not. Yep. This is totally a couple days before March 3rd. We know about all of the disastrous things that have happened since then.
Yeah, so many deaths, so many.
Calling it now, Trump got impeached.
If that happens by March 3rd, then I think we're just going to have to re-record all of our episodes with a very different tone.
Yeah, I'm a freaking prophet, that's what.
Matt Canavan is calling it right now. Donald Trump will be impeached before March 3rd. This is our recording of getting it wrong.
I'm going to give him until April, middle
That's
of April.
That's probably much more realistic.